Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, let's dive in. Imagine this for a second. You wake up, cold steel, bright lights, and you realize they think you're dead.
Yeah. It's one of those scenarios that taps right into a deep-seated fear, isn't it? Being aware, but completely helpless.
Exactly. And that's the reported ordeal of David Bowers back in 1962. St. Gregor Hospital. He'd been in a car crash, pronounced dead.
And then somehow he regains consciousness, but not in a recovery room. On the autopsy table.
Right. The sources we have paint this picture of just sheer terror. Fully aware, hearing everything, feeling. Well, we can only imagine what he was feeling.
And unable to signal, to scream, to do anything, just trapped inside, listening to them prepare. A unique kind of horror.
The initial reaction from the medical team, according to the records, was dismissal.
Right. They noted something, but the first explanation written down was postmortem spasm, like a muscle twitch, nothing more.
Yeah, but it seems pretty clear, looking back at the documentation, that something more significant was happening. Yet they initially decided to proceed.
Which is where this really starts to unravel. We need to look at the timeline. So, car crash, declaration of death, then the autopsy begins.
And that's when the doctors conducting it observe something that, well, it must have given them pause.
It must have. The notes describe, and this is a direct quote, excellent neuromuscular response. That's not just a random flicker.
No, that implies the nerves and muscles are, you know, working together, responding.
And then there's that absolutely chilling interpretation they added. But it was him screaming from within, their words, documented.
Wow. Okay. So they saw this response, interpreted it as conscious agony, and then what?
Well, the records show they started running tests. Right there on the tape.
A test? Like what kind of tests?
Motor response tests. Apparently a limb moved in response. They checked his pupils. Reaction to light, again, signs of brain function.
These aren't things you typically expect from someone who's genuinely deceased, right?
Not at all. These suggest integrated neurological function. And then things get even stranger. They tried playing Latin phrases through headphones.
Latin phrases, why? What were they hoping for?
It's bizarre, isn't it? Maybe a last-ditch effort to see if there was any sign of higher cognitive processing, any reaction at all. It suggests they were grappling with something they couldn't explain.
And did he react?
There was a moment. The documentation mentions David attempted to move his jaw, a small movement.
Okay.
But the monitors hooked up, registered, and again, this is from the notes, an explosion of activity, like a huge surge of effort from him.
A conscious effort to communicate, maybe? A final attempt?
It certainly reads that way. A desperate try to show he was there, and then the recording picked up a voice.
A voice from him.
Apparently, the log notes captured words. You trapped me here. Now I stay with you.
Whoa. Okay, that's unsettling.
And the description of the voice itself is disturbing. Low, raspy almost. Inhuman, according to the notes.
So what happened then, after that?
The accounts describe the immediate aftermath as chaotic. The lights in the hospital started flickering, going haywire.
Flickering lights, okay, that's moving into different territory now.
Exactly, and then the body vanished from the table.
Ronished. Just gone. And the three doctors who were performing the autopsy, they were found later.
Found how?
Dead, with their eyes burned out.
Mm.
And a message nearby, reportedly written in blood.
Oh no, what did it say?
I am conscious.
Oh, right, okay. So that's a sharp turn from medical anomaly into something else entirely.
It absolutely is. But let's just pause on the horror angle for a moment before we get to the potentially supernatural, the sheer psychological torture.
Yeah, being awake for that. Yeah. Trapped in your own body while it's being violated. It's hard to even conceive of.
And it brings up the concept of locked-in syndrome, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Though obviously under vastly different horrific circumstances here.
Yeah, explain that a bit. For you listening, locked-in syndrome is... it's a real neurological condition. You're fully conscious, your mind is working, but you're almost completely paralyzed. Maybe you can blink or move your eyes slightly, but that's it. Imagine that state, the terror of it. Now add the element of people thinking you're dead and starting an autopsy. It amplifies that core fear of being buried alive, essentially.
And historically, the line between life and death wasn't always so clear-cut, medically speaking.
Definitely not. Think about, you know, centuries ago. Limited understanding of neurology, of coma states, right. The potential for misdiagnosis must have been, well, significant. We've come a long way, obviously.
But cases like this, or stories like this, they prey on that lingering uncertainty, don't they? That what if?
They do. And if we just focus on the documented and medical aspects in the Bowers case for a second, the neuromuscular response, the reaction to light, that surge in activity, the fact that the procedure continued, even initially.
It's a massive ethical failing, mm-hmm. Right, assuming those observations were accurate. Ignoring clear signs of life.
A catastrophic one. Performing invasive procedures on someone potentially conscious is, well, there aren't really words for how wrong that is.
So we have this medical side, the documented responses, the tests, and then we have the unexplained. The voice, the lights, the doctor's deaths, the message.
Right. This is where it fractures. Can science explain flickering lights connected to a voice recording? Or a body vanishing? Or the specific gruesome deaths of the doctors?
Probably not with our current understanding, I guess. It pushes way beyond known phenomena.
Exactly. The narrative shifts dramatically here. It goes from a deeply disturbing medical event, potentially explainable by something like a profound misdiagnosis of locked-in syndrome, perhaps?
Into something that feels fundamentally more sinister. Maybe supernatural, depending on your perspective.
The tone changes. It feels like something else took over the situation. That recorded phrase, "Now I stay with you," it hangs in the air, doesn't it?
It really does. And it loops back to that terrifying core question. If this happened to David Bowers, how many other people throughout history might have been declared dead, but weren't?
People who maybe didn't have the dramatic and potentially supernatural events surrounding them, but just experienced that silent horror.
Yeah, just woke up trapped with no way to signal. Maybe their signs of life were less obvious or misinterpreted differently.
Given the limitations of past medical knowledge, it's a genuinely chilling thought. We rely so much on technology now, but defining that exact moment of irreversible death is still complex.
Even today, there are debates, right? Brain death versus cardiac death. It's not always simple.
It's not. And stories like the Bowers case, whether you take them as fact, legend, or a bit of both, they force us to confront that blurry line, that fragility between being here and not.
So to wrap up, the David Bowers account is this potent mix. You've got documented, though highly unusual, medical observations.
Colliding head on with events that seem to defy any rational scientific explanation, pure horror.
And the ethical questions about how things were handled initially, the dismissal of those first signs, they're deeply troubling, regardless of what happened later.
Absolutely. That potential for human error, for misjudgment in such a final matter, is a sobering thought.
And it leaves you, the listener, with that lingering, uncomfortable question. Could there be other stories like this? Maybe less dramatic, undocumented cases.
Cases lost to time, where someone experienced that ultimate nightmare without leaving behind a supernatural tale. What does that possibility tell us about our grasp on life, death, consciousness itself?
Something to think about, definitely. That very thin, fragile line between the two.